and welcome to Community Outreach. I'm Raquel Williams. Jersey First is a nonprofit organization established in 2018 designed to be a voice for hardworking New Jerseyans. The objective of the organization is to raise awareness of the economic and social impact of being overtaxed and overregulated. The organization is committed to breaking this all-too-familiar cycle here in New Jersey. Joining me today is the president and founder of Jersey First, Rosemary Becky. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
Now, before we delve into the work of Jersey First, Rosemary, let's first get some background on you. Now, I understand that you are a leading tax policy lawyer and that you've dabbled a bit in politics and policy, correct?
That is correct. So, as you said, I'm a tax policy lawyer. I started my career working at the Internal Revenue Service, but I also had the great honor early in my career to work at the United States Senate. I worked for the Tax Writing Committee as tax counsel in the U.S. Senate. And while I was there, I had the great opportunity to co-author the 529 College Savings Plan.
Yes, I read about that. Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, so I have a long career around politics.
Now, what were some of the events and experiences, Rosemary, that led you to forming Jersey First?
You know, to be really honest, what led me to do this is I came home one day and opened that property tax bill.
Oh,
and
boy.
It had gone up one more time. And it's just, to me, so frustrating. And it really led me, you know, to think it's time to do something. We've got to change what's happening in this state. I mean, I love New Jersey. I love my neighbors. I love raising my children here. And I want to stay. I don't want to leave when my kids are gone. So, you know, I really want to make this a better place. And so I launched Jersey First in 2018. Mm-hmm. And initially, our focus was really on some of the economic issues around lowering taxes and less spending in our state. But that's grown since then.
Okay, and we will get into it. As a matter of fact, New Jersey First founded on the four pillars: taxes, education, business, and community. So let's talk about all of that. Let's first get into the taxes, since you talked about, you know, this is what the whole thing was founded on in the very beginning when you opened that tax bill. I think we are all familiar with that feeling, unfortunately. And so when it comes to taxes here in New Jersey, I think we just throw up our hands and surrender and we go, okay, we just have to pay more. What's the real issue here? And Rosemary, do you think real change is possible in this department?
I do think real change is possible. And what I think the real issue is the spending. We've got to reduce our spending here in New Jersey so that we can reduce taxes. You know, you certainly don't want to just reduce our taxes because then we dig ourselves into a deeper hole. And I think, look, it's about fiscal responsibility, and we have to take a hard look at what we're spending money on. And unfortunately, there'll be things in the budget we just can't afford. It's like your family budget, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all want lots of things, but at the end of the day, we can't have them because we've got to live within our means.
Understand. Now, I've been talking with lots of gubernatorial candidates, and I think they're all in agreement that being a business-friendly state is paramount to economic growth in New Jersey. Rosemary, is New Jersey business-friendly?
No, we are not. And we consistently rank as one of the worst places to do business, to start a business. And we've got to change that. So we've got to make this, you know, a better place for businesses. You know, we've got to reduce the amount of regulations and mandates that we put on businesses. And we have to encourage businesses to come here.
Yeah, that's important, especially now as we're all teetering and trying to kind of get back to whatever sense of normalcy that we can get back to. You know, we can't even see post-pandemic yet. I don't know what this is. We're in some weird state of limbo, kind of open, kind of not open, trying to get things done. What have you heard from business owners as of late? What's their main concern in this area?
I think their main concern is the environment in doing businesses and the the mandates and the restrictions that are being placed on them, particularly small businesses. I think that during the pandemic, you know, a lot of small businesses felt as if, you know, big businesses were a priority in the state versus the smaller, you know, local businesses and stuff. So while, you know, some bigger stores and things like that were able to be open, some of the smaller businesses were not. And that continues to be a concern for all our small businesses. I mean, remember, we've lost one third of our small businesses mm-hmm. in New Jersey. I mean, I know when I go down my street, there's a lot of empty storefronts, and we need to bring those businesses back.
You're advocating for a business bill of rights. What exactly is that?
So we think it's just, you know, fundamental principles that we ought to be looking at as we, you know, make laws or we do things, you know, in this state. Like, you know, again, making sure that we're not over-regulating businesses, that we're encouraging entrepreneurship, right? So one, for instance, is making sure that we don't enact bills that hurt people who work as independent contractors or things like that, that we truly, again, create this opportunity for people to start businesses to prosper in the state.
Let's move on to your second pillar of Jersey First, and that is community. Of course, we know that community is important. Feeling safe is important. And of course, each community needs to have the necessary resources at their disposal. What would you say is lacking right now?
I think what's lacking right now is really an opportunity for people to be heard and getting the help that they need. I will give you a very good, for instance, you know, we received many calls from a number of parents with adult children with disabilities. And the governor had kept all those centers closed. And they were basing it kind of off of one report in throughout the state. And nobody was taking into account kind of the specific circumstances and looking at, you know, that in many instances, either everybody was fully vaccinated or precautions had been put in place. And these adult children were deteriorating and having very difficult time, you know, because they weren't in the programs that they are normally at. And so we were able to work with those parents and ultimately get those centers back open again, and so that the adult children can attend those centers and stuff. But, you know, it really, for me, made me see that there's just so many voices that aren't being heard, and different communities, you know, a lot of times, you know, our vets, we have a lot of vets that are, you know, struggling or facing homelessness and things like that. And so we've tried to partner with different groups there and again, get involved and help them have a voice to get the resources that they need.
You know, I often say COVID-19 seems to have kind of brought out the magnifying glass. This was founded in 2018, and maybe you can speak to this for a minute. You founded this in 2018. This was before the pandemic. We're sitting here in 2021, still, you know, in this pandemic. So it's interesting to see what seems to have worked, what doesn't work, the different changes and the laws and different mandates that have come about. And this COVID-19 kind of brought everything out, and we're able to see, this is the way we're running things, or this may not be working, or that does work, because now is the time for different resources in the community to be at everyone's disposal. It's all of the things that the principles that Jersey First was founded on. Now we can see, are these things truly working or are they not working? So it seems as though now you're really able to see and to push and to show people these are the changes that need to be made. And this is what we were talking about in the first place.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. And I actually feel the same way. It really has created a magnifying glass on on so many aspects of our lives and really making sure that we take a close look. And we really at Jersey First are about, you know, common sense solution, advocacy, you know, and not to jump ahead, but to talk about education, you know, one of the things that we got involved in right out of the gate this year was getting the schools open. And we had a board member who was living in a town, was living in Montclair, and their kids hadn't been to school at all. And he had children of his own that were really suffering and stuff. And so what we've tried to do, again, even there, is to, you know, help the parents and really let the parents be the voice and let them lead, but be support for them and help advocate for change.
Okay. Well, definitely we'll talk more about the educational structure in New Jersey, and we'll definitely get into the lawsuit that was recently filed against the mask mandate issued by Governor Murphy. So we'll talk about that soon. You mentioned the military and veterans, and I wanted to ask you about that. You were talking about homelessness and the like, and do you think that they have enough support in the communities?
I think they need more. And, you know, we've actually, one of our Jersey First board member is a vet, and she's very passionate about these issues. And, you know, I think that even what I've seen, you know, people, our vets need a voice. And so we've tried to partner with different organizations who do a wonderful job, like Backpacks for Life, and help, you know, address some of the issues that our vets are facing and be a support system to them. So, I think it's the magnifying glass, right? COVID has kind of shined a light on a lot of, you know, communities and a lot of things that need our help.
You're listening to Community Outreach. I'm Raquel Williams. We're here today with president and founder of Jersey First, Rose Mary Becky. We wanted to talk about the education system here in New Jersey, which will, of course, get us into some other issues relating to that. What changes to the state's learning climate in general, not just surrounding COVID, what changes to the state's learning climate would you like to see?
You know, I'd like to see more emphasis on higher ed as well as our K-12 system. But you know, one of the things when we first launched Jersey First and we took a hard look at the situation in New Jersey, where was a lot of our spending going, you know, our resources, things like that. And clearly in this state, we spend a lot of money. We spend the most money of any state on our K-12 system per child. And but we don't spend as much and we don't do enough, I think, for our higher ed. So I think that we need to take a better look at you know, improving that, finding better revenue streams to support our higher ed, you know, because the situation we have, and it's actually some of the data that we did that's on the website for Truth in Numbers, it talks about is the fact that, you know, we've got all these kids that graduate from high school in New Jersey and then they leave. And, you know, we have a hard time getting them back. And in fact, you know, we definitely have a gap in some of our ages represented here in New Jersey, because we graduate these kids from high school and then they leave the state and they go on to colleges and other places. And I would like to see us do more to keep them here in the state and attending our state universities.
Understand. Now, Jersey First recently filed a lawsuit against the mask mandate issued by Governor Murphy. So let's unpack this, and we can take our time with this one because there's a lot of information here. This is a very controversial area, and I want to make sure that we all have a pretty good understanding of this. In the beginning, Governor Murphy said schools will open, no virtual options, and no mask mandate. a little bit down the line, as, you know, more recommendations came out, he said, you know, because at first it was all the school systems, you make your own decision on what you want to do with masks. Now it's okay, kids are going to have masks in school. Tell me about this lawsuit and exactly what it's alleging.
So this lawsuit challenges the governor's executive order. And what the executive order does is it mandates masking, you know, on indoor premises for all public, private, parochial schools, preschool, elementary, and secondary schools. And there's very limited exceptions for it. And, you know, what parents came to us, and when we decided to do this and to help the parents, where they were outraged at this blanket mandate on their children. And that's really the crux of the concern here, is that, you know, people don't, they object to a mandate like this. And they think it specifically, you know, targets the children. You know, we've got all these other things that are happening in our state and, you know, that we're doing without masks. And suddenly now we're masking all the children when the data doesn't really support it. And again, I think that, you know, what the parents had expected was each school board and, along with their superintendent, would make decisions about whether or not masks were needed and whether it was appropriate in their school districts.
Someone listening to this may think, and I'm going to play devil's advocate, Rosemary. They might say, okay, well, you don't want masks. You don't care about kids. You know, this is, how can you do this? You know, we need to protect the kids. And this is something that the governor is doing to make sure the kids are protected. So how could anyone object to this? What would you say?
I would say it actually may be causing more harm to the kids.
Okay.
You know, kids need to be able to express themselves. They need to be able to interact with their teachers. I mean, clearly, and even the governor said this, we learned that remote learning was a complete disaster, and that is not in the best interests of kids. And again, you know, it seems as if we need to be looking at the specific data and looking at each particular area within the state to make the determination as to whether or not the mask is appropriate. We've heard from thousands of parents who, you know, whose children don't want to wear a mask or have some kind of allergic, you know, reaction, or they've got something that makes it difficult for them to wear a mask. And so, you know, it's taking away a parental right and a parental, you know, I think that what people expected was that, you know, decisions were going to be made again at the school board level, mm-hmm. town by town kind of thing. And then and then ultimately the decision would then be made by the parents.
Okay.
And, you know, the real objection being that, you know, this is a blanket mandate across the state.
Okay. So this is more about letting parents make the decision and letting them have the choice. Not saying no kid should ever have masks or all kids should have masks. It's about choice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And look, I talked to one administrator who shared with me in her school district that they stayed open and they did have teachers who felt more comfortable having masks in their classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids adapted to it. And so they would put on the masks and go into that classroom and then when they didn't need them, they would take them off, or if they were in a classroom where a teacher didn't necessarily, you know, need or want a mask there, then they wouldn't wear one. And that, you know, everybody coexisted and it all worked out and people were able to be in person. And this isn't about yes or no. Mm-hmm. It's about leaving people with a choice.
Okay. And from a legal standpoint, is the mask mandate unconstitutional?
We think it is. We really do. We think, you know, it's unconstitutional on a number of grounds. You know, we think it, you know, everything from being unconstitutional because it violates, you know, a parent and child's due process rights. It violates the Equal Protection Clause. We think it, you know, violates the free speech rights. And we think that, you know, there's other grounds such as, you know, violating the separation of power as well as the Administrative Procedures Act. So there's a number of reasons that we've alleged in the case. And this is an appeal that's actually been filed in the it's a notice of appeal that's been filed in the appellate court, because that's the route you go when you challenge an executive order.
Okay, I understand. So I know you've heard from parents that support this. Have you heard of or experienced any pushback on this at all?
On the case?
Yeah.
No, we haven't. We really haven't heard from anybody. And in fact, we've seen a number of school districts throughout the state that have even stepped up and, you know, called for the governor to rescind the executive order because they prefer to make the decision on their own.
Okay, I understand. And yeah, this is something that's, you know, being debated across the nation, actually, not just here in New Jersey, but I'm sure we'll continue to see where this is going to go. This is interesting, I have to say. Have you heard anything from the governor's office on this at all?
We have not. We haven't heard anything. And we haven't heard anything back on the case yet that we filed.
Okay. Let's now talk a bit about the New Jersey First Pledge. What is that?
So the Jersey First Pledge is super simple, and it says, I pledge to put New Jersey first. And we're asking people to sign the pledge because we really want to unify people around policy, and we want to create a dialogue on the policy. And we think it's really important to show that unity and for all of us to say, hey, wait a minute, I'm pushing all this aside, and I want to put New Jersey first. I want to stay here. I want to be a part of this community, and I want to see us enact laws and regulations that put Jersey first.
And people should go to the website. We can get that information later, but you would like people to go to the website and sign the Jersey First Pledge, of course.
Yes, okay. Absolutely. And as you said, it's just on our website. It's Jersey, Jersey, the number one st.org. And when you visit the webpage, the pledge immediately comes up. We've had over 1,000 people sign the pledge. And again, we really think it's important that, you know, we create this dialogue around these important issues. And as you and I just discussed, we call them our pillars, you know, kind of it's what we stand for and what we're advocating for.
I'm curious, Rosemary, where does the group stand on the current administration? And is there any particular candidate or administration you would like to see in November? When?
So we want to see the candidate. We want to see the candidate win that supports our principles. And that's, you know, what we are. Again, we are not going to be out there endorsing any candidates.
Okay.
What we are going to be doing is talking about the issues. Because, again, and, you know, I've spent a lot of time talking to people over the course of the last, you know, 8 months here. And it, you know, these are the issues that are important to people. And so, you know, we are planning to launch in the fall as well. We have a wonderful program called Jersey First TV,
Ooh.
And it airs on Thursday nights. It's a live stream, so it airs on Facebook and some other places.
Okay.
But we're talking about, again, some of these issues, right? And you know, taking a close look at what are the issues and what's kind of happening in the communities. Tonight, we have John Coyle on, who will be, you know, talking about kind of some of the mandates and how that relates to employment law, and trying to help some of our listeners kind of unpack some of those mandates, requirements that are happening again as a part of COVID. And then the other thing I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about is we actually have a wonderful internship program, and that's something that is a big part of Jersey First, something I'm very, very passionate about. But we had 35 interns this past summer, young people working on everything from communications to most of our legal interns did all the research and writing on the lawsuits that we've been involved in. You know, just had them involved in a variety of ways, being out in the community, getting involved. So, and we'll continue to have that program in the fall and in next spring as well.
Okay, sounds good. So, what are some other ways that people listening to this program and they like what they hear and they want to get involved? What are some ways that people can get involved?
So, there's a number of ways people can get involved. They can volunteer. Because we certainly need help. We are trying to be out there in the community. We have developed a program that we have town captains, and we're asking people in their towns to help us spread the word. So if people like what they see on the website, like what they hear, they should reach out to us, because we are looking for folks out in the community to help us spread the word. And again, we just think it's so important to create some unity around the issues and create some real dialogue.
All right. Sounds good. We've been talking with Rosemary Becky, president and founder of Jersey First, to get involved and find out about some of the other things that they have going on, and to, of course, go on and sign the petition, which is the, not the petition, but the Jersey First pledge, I should say. You can go to the website Jersey First, that's jersey1st.org. Rosemary Becky, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.